Today I am speaking with Zoltán Fejérvári, a Hungarian pianist appearing on the Gilmore Keyboard Festival's Rising Stars series. The concert is Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Wellspring Theater of the Epic Center in downtown Kalamazoo, and I have Zoltán on the line right now. It's so nice to speak with you.
Also very nice to be in line. Hello, everyone.
So I'm speaking to you now. Are you at home in Budapest?
Right. I'm at home. Actually, I don't live in the city, but very near. It's a little town. But basically and practically, I'm in Budapest. It's sort of a suburb, a very nice, woody area.
You know, Zoltán, like most Americans, I have a bit of a lack of understanding of European history. What I know about Budapest is that musically, it's a very important center historically for figures like Franz Liszt and the combination of East meets West, wonderful folk music traditions to come out of there, like gypsy players. I don't know. That is a very not a great understanding, but
this is all true, I guess, and I hope it continues being like that. So it has always been a very colorful mixture of people and different cultures, which of course made our music life more colorful as well. So we have all this folk music, not only Hungarian, but all around this small nation, Slovakia, Romania. And for example, Kodály and Bartók are two most important figures in the 20th century, musically speaking, of course. They collected all this different kind of folk music and they integrated this music into their own musical language, which I think was very beneficial for our music life.
Yes, they both solidified the Hungarian musical identity for the whole century, it seems like, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a very strong tradition, so also other contemporary composers had to, in a way, continue with this, like Ligeti and Kurtág, and then find their own way and language.
You referenced Ligeti and Kurtág. Yes, I'm aware.
Kurtág, yeah. Right, yes.
I'm aware of those composers too, and maybe some of our listeners are as well. Before we get too deep into music history and theory, this is indulging me, but I would love a picture of Budapest. And what's one of your favorite places to go and visit and or be in the city? What's a beautiful place you like to spend time in?
Well, there are lots of beautiful places in Budapest. Like visually, of course, I would say the riverside. So go to the Danube and have a look at both the western and eastern side of Budapest, because it's Buda and Pest, so we have to a major part of the city, and Buda is situated on the left side of the Danube, so on the western side, and Pest is on the right side of the river, of the eastern side. So and the Buda side is more hilly and sort of very beautiful nature and steep streets and so on. But Pest is more for young people. It's for really get lost in the night life. And there are lots of interesting culture events going on this side. But maybe, so I like very much this part of the city. And there's one particular area which is very close to a very old bridge called the Liberty Bridge. And this part of Budapest, I think this is like the most real Budapest experience, I would say. It's on the Buddha side of the bridge, we have this famous bath, the Széchenyi bath, and it's a beautiful big building as a hotel as well. So as if I want to become a tourist, I'd rather walk there and feel like I'm not from here and just, you know, enjoy the view.
Oh, it's so romantic. I thank you for that picture. When you were growing up, did you have access to a piano to practice on?
Yes, I was very lucky because I come from a musical family. So both my parents are musicians. And although they are string players, but we always had a... When I was little, we had an upright piano at home. But later on, when it was already clear that I was becoming a pianist, or at least musician, we got a small concert grand, so which is actually from my grandmother, who used to be a piano teacher. So we have all sort of musicians in the family.
Did you play games? Did you improvise? Was the piano a place to
absolutely
express yourself?
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was always there. That's why I think that's why one of the reasons that I chose the piano, that it was always available. It was there. You didn't have to unpack it. You know, it was always there. You just had to open and you could already play, just explore, you know, everything. So, yes, that's how I think that's how I started. So when I officially went to music school, I already could play the piano in some way, and we had also lots of scores at home because of my parents. So yeah, it was always like a game for me.
What was the most difficult choice you had to make when deciding on a path, which teacher or what school or country to study in? Did you have a difficult choice?
I think the most difficult choice, it's an everyday struggle with, it's just, you know, that you have to practice, I think. This is the most difficult thing. And no matter that it's a beautiful sunny day, this is the first thing you have to do. I mean, it's sometimes... I find this the most difficult because, of course, I have to decide on teachers and on where to go. I studied 2 years in Madrid, but I think those decisions were not very difficult. It's mostly this everyday difficulty that, I mean, it's just a simple duty you have to do. I mean, of course, it's beautiful. I don't say that I'm struggling when I practice. It just sometimes it can be quite hard.
Practice does make you better, but then yeah,
absolutely,
that's
yeah,
sunshine.
Sometimes hiking makes you better as well. So maybe sometimes the sunshine is the good decision. Who knows?
Well, this is perfect because your program is all about being outside. We have pieces by Schumann, Janáček, and Bartók that all evoke landscapes and makes me think of the composers themselves getting inspiration and creativity just by breathing fresh air, stretching their legs, and appreciating their surroundings. I love it. Your program has a very outdoorsy look to it.
Totally. I mean, I love it too. I don't say that I'm so great that I found it three pieces, but I love this program, especially for, I mean, the first half, it's a very It has a very strong idea. And all three composers have a different, quite different view of and approach to nature, although they all enjoyed, I think, being outside and get inspired. But for example, the Janáček in the mist, it's more like a psychological mist. So it's not really being in a forest, like in the Valstein and of Schumann, but it's a psychological forest, I would say.
Or, you know, not all walks are easy or pleasant. And he lived in the Moravian mountains. The presence of a mountain can be very intimidating, and you can just picture.
Yeah, also the true, yeah. or heavy rain, or a fog in November or something. It's not pleasant.
Well, if we could start at the top, you're beginning with Robert Schumann's Waldszenen, which is forest scenes. How long has it been in your repertoire?
I learned this piece in this year, so I've played it in the summer a couple of times, but it's quite new. And fresh, which is good. And I have to say that so is the Bartók. So it's a very new piece for me. The Janáček I've played many times, and I've been with this Janáček music for many years. But Schumann is quite new.
With the Waldszenen, do you relate it to some of his other collections of pieces, Kreisleriana, or something that you've already learned and it gives you an insight into Waldszenen?
Well, I've never played actually Kreisleriana, but I've played many other pieces by Schumann. So, of course, the language was already very familiar, and anyway, like Schumann is really one of my favorite composers, although I don't really like this word favorite, but like I feel very close to Schumann's music, and somehow I always at home when I play Schumann.
His music can be much like the weather. If you wait 5 minutes, you'll have a completely different, you know, you'll have a rain shower or, you know, some sunshine. He builds his pieces on shorter moments, it seems like little poems, like you said.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it somehow gives you room to be free, absolutely. Mm. So there are lots of ways to interpret this piece.
What a nice way to start the program. Zoltán Fejérvári is performing at 4 o'clock on Sunday, November 4th, in the Wellspring Theater, a presentation of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival on their Rising Stars series. After the Schumann, as you mentioned, we hear In the Mist by Lajos Janáček, who is one of those rare composers whose music got more powerful throughout the years. He was really hitting his peak in his 70s.
Well, yes, I think Janáček's music was discovered quite late, the 20th century. Of course, there were some pianists and the conductors and string quartets that played Janáček's music, but they were mostly exceptions. Was not part of the canon. So, yes, Janáček, sadly enough, didn't write much for piano, and I think In the Mist is the most perfect writing for piano. I find this is the most well done and beautifully done pieces. Well, Janáček's life was not a very cheerful life. So by the time he wrote this piece, he already lost both his children, and he was not successful composer in Brno, where he lived. He was always an outsider, even in his country. Because, of course, all the important events were going on in Prague. And from Prague, they looked at Janáček as a country composer, whoever. And so this is also the reason that it was his music was discovered much later.
He didn't try to go out and socialize and become a cosmopolitan figure. His musical language is so distinct to him, and I can't help but kind of be glad he was not as successful as he should have been, because the integrity of his music stayed strong.
Yeah, absolutely true. And and finally it became popular in nowadays, and so nothing is lost. Although he was, was not very happy at the time. But sometimes it's even there.
Now, you know what's going to happen when you start to play Béla Bartók's Out of Doors. Most of us are going to be thinking, gosh, that reminds me of a certain famous ballet, The Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky.
Well, it would, yeah, it's true. I mean, he wrote this piece in 26, and it was a big year for him, because this was the year when he heard Stravinsky play his piano concerto in Budapest. And Bartók had a very difficult 2 years before that. He couldn't really write anything those years. And but this concert of Stravinsky was a great impulse. And he started writing. He just sat down and wrote a bunch of pieces for piano and for orchestra. For example, the first piano concerto, the sonata for piano, out of doors, and lots of other things. So it was a very important year for him. And thanks to Stravinsky, he found himself again.
If we could spend a moment, you could educate me a little on which period of his life he spent dragging a cylinder recording machine around Hungary and Carpathia and Transylvania and Romania and recording all of these traditional folk songs. And have you ever heard any of those recordings?
Yes, I have. I have. We learned it in the school. We have, and it's very good for us, of course. So, so I'm not very good at numbers, but approximately, I think it was the maybe somewhere 1905 or 1906 when he started collecting this these folk music with Kodály, and it lasted for sure more than a decade. And he spent lots of time writing them down. So it can easily, writing the folk songs down from the gramophone machine, and publishing. At the beginning was with a very simple piano accompaniment, then only the songs, and later, of course, he arranged a lot of folk music, or just learned the style. And for example, in the piano sonata, you cannot hear any original folk tune, but it sounds like that because he already knew how to write in this style.
One of my favorite piano albums, I don't listen to it a whole lot, but once in a while, it's just the perfect thing. And it's a Zoltán Kocsis recording of Four Children, the volumes of...
Yes.
Those are lovely little tunes. I just...
Absolutely beautiful. And actually, that's why I feel so lucky as well. That's how I grew up, playing all these pieces.
Oh.
And beautiful pieces, absolutely gorgeous music.
I'm speaking with Zoltán Fejérvári, who's performing on the Gilmore Rising Stars series on Sunday at 4 o'clock. And there's only one last piece to mention. It's a beautiful piece, and it'll be quite a contrast after Bartók. It's the Sonata in G by Franz Schubert. About when did you add this to your repertoire?
I learned this piece during my school years in the Béla Bartók Conservatory. I think I was 17 or 18 years old, so more than 10 years ago already. And but I had been wanting to play it since I was 13 or 14. And I was mentioning my teacher, please, please give me this piece, please allow me. And but she finally did allow to learn this when I was 17, 18. And it was a very wise decision. It's a big piece. It's a huge piece, and it's absolutely beautiful. I also think it's quite a nice second half, because G major, I don't know, but somehow reminds me of nature. I sometimes see colors when I hear tonalities, and G major to me is a green, a very fresh green color, but you can see spring. It's just when leaves just came out, and it's a very peaceful, surprisingly positive piece. I mean, we are talking about the Schubert piece, which is never really 100% serene and positive, but this piece I find that it's very sort of it. Somehow we have the feeling that even Schubert enjoyed life sometimes and and felt happy.
Well, finally, I should ask you about the rest of your tour. Besides visiting Kalamazoo, will you be appearing in other United States cities or even in Canada?
Right. I'm going to perform the same program a few days after Kalamazoo in Union College. And And after that, I'm on a tour with musicians from Marlboro, and we'll perform chamber music, Dvorak piano trio in F minor. So we'll be performing in a couple of places on the East Coast. I mean, beautiful places, mostly in important cities like Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. We're so lucky to have you come and perform in Kalamazoo and get to know you a little bit and hopefully see you again the next time the festival comes around. Zoltan, it's been great to chat with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.